The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's show. Thank you all for listening in. We're talking about help for the adoptive family. Many couples today are looking into adopting a child, and most of us know someone who has considered adopting either domestically or internationally. My sister did, in fact. Often would-be adoptive parents are faced with challenges they had no way of knowing about ahead of time, and few appreciate the financial commitment, which can cost well over $10,000 with travel internationally and fees and more, and that can cause undue stress at what should be a happy time. Likewise, friends and relatives often have no idea how to help best. My guest this week is Kelly Ellison, who, as a result of her own experience adopting her daughter from China, founded YourAdoptionFinanceCoach.com and GotchaGiftRegistry.com, two e-commerce companies to fill this information gap. Her organization is dedicated to giving potential parents the coaching they need to make the process as smooth as possible and to educate friends and family about how they can best help so that, as Kelly says, they can bring their family home together forever. I'll tell you a little more about Kelly's background, very rich background. She's an executive coach and trainer with over 25 years experience working in development and management in the nonprofit sector. She's been president and CEO of two nonprofit organizations, as well as vice president of marketing and development for a national nonprofit organization based in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly has a passion for helping people raise money, and now she's specifically helping adoptive families reach their financial goals. Kelly earned her master's degree in business administration in 2005 from the Rockhurst Executive Fellows Program in Kansas City, and she's certified in mediation and diversity and is an experienced presenter. She's co-author of The Youth Action Agenda, a cooperative model for environmental leadership, which is a curriculum for high school. She's a member of the scholarship committee for the Rosalind Carter Institute's Intergenerational Caregivers Scholarship Award and a member of the Board of Governors of the We Are Family Foundation. So welcome to Family First, Kelly.
Thank you, Randy. My goodness, I had no idea that I had done all of those things.
Yes, isn't it funny to look back?
I'm exhausted.
All those things you've done. So tell me, Kelly, how did you first become interested in helping adoptive families? I mentioned you've had your own personal experience.
Right.
So tell us about your personal journey.
Well, of course, everyone's journey with adoption is different. My particular situation, my husband and I decided to adopt our daughter from China. We completed our adoption in 2007 when we brought her home. We started that adoption in 2005, so it was quite a long process, exactly 29 months. We were in the process of completing that adoption. And, you know, as you said earlier, I have a pretty extensive background in development in the nonprofit sector. So it just, as I was going through this experience myself, it just occurred to me over and over again that there just is no support, no help out there for guiding an adoptive family, a family that's doing this process, on how to pay for their adoption. Furthermore, there was no process or venue for my friends and my family to reach in and help me in ways that really, really were important for me. So that was really my passion around beginning the process of helping adoptive families not only raise money, but coaching them through the process.
That's really neat. So did you have any personal surprises or challenges that got you motivated to help others?
Well, there were many, certainly, but the one story that I tell about, the one, I think, moment for me that I talk about the most was when we received our referral for our daughter, and we had this big, wonderful baby shower and announcement that we were getting ready to travel to China. And I remember all of our friends and all of our family were there having dinner with us and celebrating with us. And 3 carloads of gifts followed us home that night. And I was completely overwhelmed by the fact that there was so much love and support coming from our community. However, the folks did not have any way of knowing that we were going to carry $15,000 in cash on our bodies to China. They didn't know that we were giving a large donation to the orphanage or how much the airfare was or any of that. So they did not have a venue for how they could give us money to help us with the adoption. So I was really struck by that. I was struck by the disconnect of this wonderful celebration and this wonderful community of people that wanted to help, and yet there was no way for them to do that.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I know families that have a child with a special need, and mm-hmm. there's some kind of website that they can go to make contributions. And,
right.
But I've never heard of anything like that for an adoptive child.
That's right. That's right. So that was one of the reasons that I created GotchaGiftRegistry.com. It really is a online adoption gift registry service, where families can tell their story, and they have a gift registry where their friends and their family and even really anonymous folks can come in and give them a gift, much like going to a department store and buying a gift. They can give them a cash gift. And what that does is that really helps the adoptive family to use that money where they need it most. One example was my husband and I were actually in the adoption process so long that our fingerprints expired. And in order for us to continue with our process, we got a notice from our adoption agency that we had to go and get new fingerprints and go through the new Homeland Security processing. We had already done that. We'd already paid $1,800 to do that. And now, surprise, we had to go and do that again. But there was no way for us to communicate that to our friends and family. It was just an added expense that we had not even thought was going to come up. So those are some of the challenges and some of the surprises that can happen.
Yes, that certainly would be a surprise. You have to get fingerprinted again for your adoption. Goodness. So how did your extensive background with the nonprofits help you imagine this venue where friends and family can help an adoptive family meet these challenges?
Well, what I know from being in the nonprofit sector for so long is that the most important part of raising money is telling your story. And it's not just about facts and figures. It's not just about dates and geography. But it's really about telling your story of why you're doing an adoption. So in the nonprofit sector, I give the example that, many people would ask, what does your agency do? And you can tell them all the various different numbers of people that you serve and the amount of money you need for this and that, and go down this sort of laundry list of facts. And oftentimes, actually, when I work with families one-on-one to coach them, that's typically the first question that I'll ask them. Tell me about your adoption. Why are you doing an adoption? And oftentimes I will get just that. I'll just get facts back that tell me about, well, we want to go to this country, or we decided to do a domestic adoption, and so on. What I think that I've learned the most and what I feel that I can bring to the adoptive family is how they tell their story in a way that is inspiring and compelling so that people want to know more and they want an opportunity to be a part of that community. I'll tell you, I've raised money all the way from the environment to the arts. And there is not a better community of people that come together around adoption. I've literally never seen so many folks come together for adoption because they're so excited about bringing that child home and getting that family together.
Oh, that's quite exciting. So how many families just approximately in the United States are adopting every year? How many people does this affect?
Yeah, it's a tough number to come up with. I have to tell you that there are really there are some different statistics that bring these numbers together. One of them is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services certainly publishes on their website domestic adoption. We don't really have an idea about domestic adoption numbers. And what I mean by that is in domestic adoption, that in many cases will include children who are in foster care. And so it's very hard to identify those numbers. When my latest statistics on that are in 2008, there were in care 408,000. And adopted from that in 2010 were 53,000. Waiting children are 107,000. So we still have a lot of work to do in this particular area. And certainly I don't specialize in foster care. I specialize more in coaching domestic families on adoption and international. Now in the intercountry area, the statistics are a little bit clearer. The numbers that was able to pull for this information is in 2010, intercountry adoptions were 11,000. I have actually seen that decline over the years. In some of the better years, for example, when I came back from China in 2007, those numbers were more like 19 and 21,000.
Well, that's a big change.
Yeah, we have seen a decline in international adoption.
Do you think people are being scared away because they hear how difficult it can be?
I think that there are a lot of myths about adoption, both domestic and international. And I think that you really have to come to this decision from your heart. It really has to be a heart decision, but it can be very confusing very quickly. I know that I work with a lot of families that are doing domestic adoption, for example, and there just really isn't a clear track. I do this first, I do this second, I do this third. International adoption is a little bit clear. It's a little bit more turnkey. But I think for the most part, there are a lot of myths about adoption, and one of the things that I do is work with families when they're in the adoption process to help educate others about adoption so that we don't have so many myths and strange ideas running around, if you know what I mean.
Sure. So you actually help the family know how to explain it to others?
Right. So if they're going to tell their inspiring story, which is the first thing that we work on doing, and they're going to reach out to their community and their network, they have to be prepared to answer and field those questions. They have to be prepared to understand that some people are not going to agree with their decision. They have to be prepared that there are going to be some unusual comments. And this is such a highly emotional decision that we make to adopt a child that you have to be prepared for that. And the good news is that 99% of people have a wonderful idea about adoption, and we all know that it can bring a wonderful community together. But you do have to be prepared for dispelling some of the myths that are out there.
Yeah, so what kind of myths then would you have the parents prepare for? Like,
well,
why don't you do it domestically?
Yeah, that's a big question. I will say to you, for example, if a family decides to do a transracial adoption and they decide to bring a child in that is from a different race, that's just filled with a number of different issues. I know that our agency worked with us quite a bit in terms of the Asian community and ideas that were considered politically correct and not politically correct. My husband and I decided to do an adoption not because of infertility issues, but just because we wanted to do that. We felt drawn to doing an adoption in China, and that was the right decision for us. But many people would come up and apologize or say they were sorry for me. And I would say, well, why? And certainly they were thinking, oh, well, the reason that you're adopting is because you aren't able to have your own children. And that actually wasn't true for me. So there are lots of folks that have some misunderstandings about adoption, and what we try and do is work with the families to prepare them that this draws a community, and you need to be willing and ready to bring your community in with this, but also educate your community about the process that you're going through.
That's fascinating. Yes, they really need to be prepared for assumptions that people make automatically, and how to answer without being hurt or emotionally put off. Yeah, that could be very, very trying. My father was an infertility specialist, and some of his patients did end up adopting. Sometimes they would adopt and the infertility would go away the second time, which is not unusual.
Well, often said if folks want to have a baby and they're not successful, they need to start the adoption process. And then they'll have a baby.
Yes, many times that happened. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that families face right now who are looking to adopt?
I think the biggest challenge for them is, where do I begin? How do I begin? There certainly is a decision. Once they make the decision to adopt, there is the second phase of that, which is, are we going to do a domestic adoption, or are we going to do an international adoption? Depending upon the road that they would choose, there's a plethora of decisions that they have to make throughout that process. For example, in the international track, countries have various different requirements, and you have to be sure that the agency that you work with is matching you properly to that country. In the domestic arena, there are a number of questions about if you're going to do a private adoption, if you're going to have an open adoption. There's just a number of things, and my best recommendation is to find an adoption professional who can guide you through that process. My expertise is in, once the family decides to do an adoption and they're working with someone, then I come in to help them raise the money. I do some pre-adoption coaching for families to help guide them down the process, but my work is going to come in with the families once they've decided to adopt, be it domestic or international, and then begin that process of helping them tell their story and helping them reach out to their community and succeed in reaching the financial targets that they need in order to bring that child home.
That's amazing. My first career was as an attorney, and I can imagine the ropes of another country's regulations about taking a child from their country could be different for all 200 countries. And so you might help a family decide what kind of agency to go to in the first place, but then your major coaching would come in getting the financing together, being able to tell their story in a way that people would relate to.
That's right. Now, certainly I have a number of agencies that I can refer and work with, but I'm not the agency or the social worker who's going to direct them to the country.
Right.
Or even
okay,
well,
Callie, we're up on a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about what a adoption finance coach is, and more about what you can offer to parents to help them go through this process.
Great.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're talking with Kelly Ellison, and we're talking about how to help adoptive families through the process, especially with their financial goals, because it also often can be a challenge at the different steps, particularly in international, but even in domestic adoptions. And we've been talking about how the parents need to be prepared for questions and also to raise the money from their community to inspire others to get involved by telling their story in a compelling way, and Kelly can help them do that. So we're going to talk about her two websites, GotchaGiftRegistry.com, where parents can tell their story and attract help from their community, and also YourAdoptionFinanceCoach.com, which is what Kelly Ellison does. So can you tell us, what is an adoption finance coach, and is that your concept that you originated?
Well, actually it is, and I can tell you that when I thought of the idea of doing this and providing this service to families, I was really rather surprised about the idea that it's not already being done. I realized that through my experience with the first website, GotchaGiftRegistry.com, that people would come to that website, honestly, and they didn't quite know what to do with it. Was sort of an unknown concept for them. Okay, I'm going to put my picture up here, and I'm going to tell my story, and then I'm going to put my wish list on, and people are going to come and give me money. And by nature, we as humans, we're really uncomfortable with the idea of asking for money. And that's not a perspective or a philosophy that people are comfortable with. Now, for me, it's not a problem because that's what I do for a living. So I realized that there was an opportunity here for me to really coach families from my experience to help them create a story and create a community where people could come and give them money for their adoptions. So simply what I did was I created a 5-step system, which is about telling an inspiring story, connecting with their network. For example, how many people are in their network, at their church, at their work, the school, a number of different places that people don't realize that they don't talk about their adoptions. So how do you connect with your network? How do you use the social media in order to keep people engaged in what you're doing? The third step is really about educating, and that's when we talked about dispelling the myths of adoption. Okay, you've got your story ready. You know who you're going to go tell it to. Now you need the process of educating people and telling them about this process. And then the fourth step is really about sharing. Now it's time to get your message out there and share it with all the folks that you believe would be interested and excited about your story. And then the last step is really about receiving. Thank you. Saying thank you. My hypothesis was, when I started this process, was you won't really have to ask for money. And I went out and asked a couple of adoptive families if I could coach them for free and help them raise money. And I was feeling like, okay, my hypothesis is, if they don't have to ask for money, can they still raise money for their adoptions? And we had great success. I worked with about three adoptive families, raising anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 apiece in various different venues and special events and writing grants. And we really looked at a comprehensive approach about how you raise all the money that you need for your adoption. Because here's the truth. When you decide to do an adoption, you are going to have 85% of the money that you need for that adoption. The rest of the money, we can help you raise. And then, of course, it's in timing and when is the money due. And so we look at a comprehensive approach about when they'll need the money, how much money they will need, and then how they will allow people to come in and help them and be a part of their community. So I designed this concept and really went out and did some studies about it and asked around, especially with agencies and various different adoption professionals, and found that it was not being done. And there's this gap that when you sign on the dotted line with an agency, that their job is really not to help you raise money. Their job is to do what they do best. That is the dossier, which is a very important document that you have to have about your life. All the paperwork, all the politics that they have to do. So I find that my services pick up where the adoption agencies are not able to serve their client and be able to help them raise money for their adoptions, because certainly they have a lot of things that they need to be paying attention to in this process.
Oh, that's fascinating. I can see where this is such a personal decision for parents, and it's almost a private decision, especially if they get a little negative feedback from friends or family. And then to imagine asking for money, that may be a huge jump for them to bridge. And so you help them do that. That five-step process is fascinating. Of just part of it's just having them, like you said, get the confidence to realize there is a community that will respond positively to your story.
Well, and a major shift I think that happens for families that I work with is the fact that it's really not about them. It's about bringing that child home. And it's allowing your community to be a part of bringing that child home. So people who are in your community are not just going to be there one time helping you. They're going to be there all the time watching that child grow up and birthdays and various different events. So this really is about bringing a community together.
That's such a brilliant concept and so helpful to the family, because they might otherwise feel isolated, being with a child that looks different from them and whatever. And having a supportive community from the start could make a whole lot of difference in the whole family's life.
Yes, it does. I know that there are still people that we are part of our community with our daughter that are still together, still watching her grow up and be a part of that process. I'll tell you that your adoption finance coach was also really created out of this need to bring a community of adoptive families together to help them learn from each other.
Ah.
So it is really a membership-driven program, and the members within your adoption finance coach community have an opportunity to share their stories. So, for example, one family might have success at doing a particular fundraiser in their community that was unique to them, and they can go on the website and share that experience and field questions. We do monthly teleconferences on the various different subjects. We talk about how to plan your special event if you decide to do a special event. We have a monthly teleconference for our members about writing grants. And are you a candidate for writing a grant for your adoption? So as the coach, my role is to really just facilitate and guide the process and help the families to make decisions, but then also to interact with each other to share their information, because that's how they learn also.
Certainly, yes. And I imagine that your knowledge continues to grow as these people give feedback from what they're going through.
That is so true. I'm vicariously living through each one of these families as they go and adopt various different children from whether it be the United States to Haiti. Actually working with a family right now who is adopting two boys from Haiti. And them having that experience, and you get a lot of education about the country, you get a lot of education about the process, and I'm certainly benefiting far more than they are, because it's a wonderful experience to watch them go through this.
My, that's interesting. So I'm curious, what kinds of grants are available? Are they linked with particular countries or particular race or interests?
Not really. There are, I will say that typically when I am counseling or coaching a family on writing grants, the first thing that we look at is how much money are they making, what is their gross income, and then also we look at, are they adopting a special needs child, be it an international child or a domestic child. What I have found is that in most of my grant writing for families is that that seems to be where the majority of grants go. It's a grant is in this scenario is a competitive process just like any grant making process. So there is a foundation or a family that is a panel of people that are looking at a number of different applications and are making decisions. And again, this is based on how inspiring your story is, how you differentiate yourself among the other families. And know that I can't imagine making that decision, Randy, of all those families, all wanting help, all wanting to do an adoption and having to choose two, you know, having to make
yes.
that choice. But when I'm guiding families about doing or writing grants, I'm usually starting from that point. Usually if a family is above a median income, they're probably not going to be a good candidate for a grant, especially if they're going to be going for a healthy infant or child in that regard. If a family is below the median income and they are going to be adopting a special needs child, then that is a good resource for them.
You know, I can see where that could be really scary and daunting for parents to even try to write grants. They would need someone who knows how to do it. So that's an extra benefit of knowing about your services.
Right, right.
So you've mentioned a couple of different expenses. The fingerprinting is obviously a surprise, the second fingerprinting. And so what are some of the other expenses that can take parents by surprise as they go through the adoption process?
Well, let me say this, that to start the adoption process, you do need your first process of this is going to be to select an agency and to work with adoption professional. And what is most important about that is that when you make a decision, they should give to you a list of the anticipated expenses. And in our particular case, the fingerprints were on that, but we just didn't anticipate that we would have to do that twice.
And it's
so
expensive.
There are still going
yes.
to be surprises. What I will do with the family is take that list and help them put it over a time period, because you don't need all the money at the very beginning. You're going to need the money over a period of time as you go through the adoption process. Now, in some cases for domestic adoption, families do need all the money ahead of time before they begin the process of going out and seeking a birth mom. So domestic is very different from international. But to just generally answer your question, the principal expenses that are required in domestic adoption are typically your attorney or your agency fees, and then, of course, the birth mom fees. And then in international adoption, you're looking at travel fees that can be very expensive, the orphanage fees, and then the agency fees. So those are predominantly the expenses. And let me give you baseline. Domestic and international adoption will typically run between $25,000 and $40,000, depending upon the country or depending upon the type of adoption that you are doing.
That's significant, yes.
Right. Now, one of the things that I will say about this is that there is a sizable federal tax credit that can be taken when the adoption is complete. But that's the good news and the bad news. That's when the adoption is complete. So what happens for a lot of families is that's an after-the-fact, influx of cash. You need the money when you need the money. And I can tell you that, you know, when you're in an international adoption setting, for example, for us, when we received the referral for our daughter and the photo, we had to overnight a check to the agency to accept that referral. And that was kind of the next level. And then we began the process of travel. So you can anticipate these expenses, but it's important to put them on in a comprehensive budget so that you really understand what is due and when it's due.
Yeah, that's interesting that you had to overnight your acceptance, and so you had to know that that money needed to be there right away when they sent you the picture, so that there's that urgency that can step in and really catch somebody unawares. Do you find that some parents actually give up on the process if they don't have that kind of awareness?
Well, I don't know that I can speak to that as much because I'm not an agency, so I don't have a large, a pool of parents or families that I'm, that are in the pipeline, for example.
Right.
But what I can speak to is a lot of things will interrupt that process. We have found that over the last couple of years that, the recession, the loss of a job, the change of a job, anything like that on a personal level can interrupt that adoption process. Also, the politics that are going on, if you're adopting from an international country, sometimes what will interrupt that process is just basic politics, and they will shut the country down for a political reason, and you're in the pipeline, and you're stuck for a while until that gets resolved. That can be very scary when you are in an international adoption. But there are a number of things that can interrupt that process. The value of a good adoption agency who can hold your hand and who can give you the good, the bad, and the ugly, and prepare you for all of these issues that might come up through this process is, there's just no amount of replacing that. It's very, very important that when a family begins a process of adoption that they identify an agency or an adoption professional that really fits with them and that they feel like they can go through this process with.
Okay, that's great. Kelly, we will be back after a break. You're listening to Family First with Kelly Ellison, all about adoption.
Thank you.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun?
Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. My guest today is Kelly Ellison, and she has created two wonderful e-commerce companies, YourAdoptionFinanceCoach.com and GotchaGiftRegistry.com, to help parents that are adopting children, either domestically or international, with their financial goals in particular. But what fascinates me so, Kelly, is how the idea of involving the community in helping to finance a portion of the high expenses it takes to adopt actually creates a community of support, and that can help so much, help the family continue to be successful when they have a child that needs special support because of language or a racial difference within the community, and to use the financing idea as a way to create a supportive community is just delightful.
Well, thank you. I think really the community comes first, and what we know when I said earlier about it's not in our human nature to ask for money. What is in our human nature is to want to help, to find a way to be a part of that community. So it really is very natural. When we bring these people together and we give them a venue for how they can tell their story, it really is a very natural outcome of how the community comes in and helps them. So there's really nothing, you know, there's no magic here. This is really just about how they tell their story and how they invite people in.
And that is so natural to humans to want to tell their story.
Yeah.
So if you give them a way of doing that, then that can draw that support system together. It's quite a creative thing you've done.
Thank you.
So if there's a family or a friend who knows someone's trying to adopt, what can they do?
Well, certainly we're here and available to help any family. It's one of the reasons why it's an e-commerce company, because you can literally be anywhere in the world and have access to these resources. So certainly that would be one thing if they want to go. And we are doing various different family orientations and agency orientations on our website. We try and do one at least one a week. So we have informational webinars where we can give folks tours. So they can certainly come and learn about what we're doing. And if they choose that that's right for them and they want to be a part of that, we're more than glad to help them. But then I guess that really if you have someone in your network or in your community, and by the way, I want to say this to you, this is just a fascinating statistic. 6 in 10 people have some connection to adoption. It was just like what you said, Randy, about your sister did an adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example. 6 in 10 people have some connection to adoption. And it's so fascinating to me that adoption is all around us. So if you have a family or a couple that is adopting, the best thing to do is to ask them how you can help them. And I don't mean to be brash here, but I am going to say that cash is king. It's very important because there are so many expenses that are associated with adoption. And really, that's one of the reasons why the GotchaGiftRegistry.com site is so important, because you're contributing, but you are giving them a gift of cash. We hold the cash in an escrow account, and when that family needs that money, they can tap into that account and get it for any reason, for anything. But you are contributing to the different aspects of the expenses of the adoption. So it's really important to understand that's really where they need your help in the front end to try and help them offset some of these expenses.
That's wonderful. So we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you to tell a few stories of families you've helped, Callie.
Well, I'll share a story of a little family that completed their adoption in Ethiopia. They brought their daughter home not too long ago, and what was wonderful about helping this particular family is that we did, they sold t-shirts on their blog. You know, we just sort of did a whole comprehensive approach for them. They got involved in coffee from Ethiopia. They were selling that. They had, of course, their profile on the gift registry. And we did a special event for them, and they coordinated bringing in Ethiopian food, so it was very cultural. I also did that with another family that, as I mentioned before, that's working with a group adopting two boys from Haiti. So I find it's really fun when I work with these families that we can not only customize an event or a process for them that is unique to them, but it's also fun, and it's a way to educate other people. But one family that I will tell you about, they're actually on my website, and one of the things that we planned was they were both marathon runners. And they came to me and said, well, we want to do a marathon. And I said, well, that's kind of a big idea, so let's see how we can get our arms around this. And so we decided to do a Run Baby Run challenge. And they committed to running, not doing their own marathon, but running 10 different marathons in the city.
Wow.
And so we made this list of all the various different marathons. We got all their family together in a kind of a celebration and an announcement of this pledge, and let people pledge to them for running these various different runs. Well, what was very funny was they were doing a domestic adoption, and the agency had anticipated a particular length of time. Well, they found a birth mom right away, and right away they had a baby, and it was like, boom, they had this baby, and they were only half of the way into running their runs.
No.
So I remember the mom calling me and saying, okay, now, you know, what do we do? And we were going to go to plan B. We were going to try and figure out what to do about this. But she said, no, I want to run the runs, and I'm going to take him with me.
Oh.
And so it's just wonderful. And here, so they went and bought this special stroller, and they ended up taking him with them when they finished their runs. So it's just a wonderful experience for them. Everyone had fun. They felt like they were a part of something that was really a wonderful experience. And that little boy, I think, is turning 2 soon. So just a really great experience.
And what a picture for, like you've spoken about, educating the community about adoption. Have that baby running in these marathons, that would definitely attract attention and
yes, that's right.
Help
well,
tell the story.
Really running, I understand he was in his stroller, but he was there. I do want to do a couple of call-outs before we end the show. I don't know if you were going to talk about this or not in terms of what's coming up for us.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. I'm
okay.
Happy to ask about that.
Yeah. Well, if it's okay, we're going to be doing our own show on this very network, Voice America, and it's going to
yes,
be all
I'm
about
so happy
adoption.
About that.
the concept of the show, and it's gonna launch on June 2nd at 2 p.m. And the concept of the show is just to do what we did today, hopefully inspire and educate others about adoption and connect them to various different resources that might not otherwise be available to them. And I did want to just do...
What day is that going to be on, Kelly?
June 2nd at 2 p.m., Saturday.
What day of the week is that?
June 2nd at 2 p.m.
What day of the week?
The first day of the radio show. And I'm actually looking for ideas and folks who can bring recommendations and suggestions for the show. So we're holding a special webinar on our website. You can go to www.youradoptionfinancecoach.com and register for this. It is just an opportunity to weigh in. If you're an adoptive family who's been through the process, or you're an adoption professional, or you're looking for some information about adoption, this is a webinar where we will be spending some time to talk and learn and listen from folks who can tell us what they would like to hear on the radio show that's coming up in June. So that webinar is going to be on April 2nd, next week, Monday night at 6 p.m. It's a free webinar, and we'll hop on and hopefully hear some really good ideas about the new show that's coming up in June.
Oh, that's really neat. So, and your regular show will be on Saturdays, so people that work
Saturday,
during the week, they can listen
at
in.
2 p.m. is our first show, so every Saturday following that at 2 p.m.
That's
so
awesome.
That's Central Standard Time.
Voice America attracts great people for their shows, so welcome to the family.
Yeah, we're very excited. Thank you so much.
So we're coming down to the end of the show, so I'd like to ask you, what's one, if you could only give one bit of advice to a family thinking about adoption, what would that be, Kelly?
Well, I think that adoption has to be a decision of the heart, always. Many people, most people, do not come to adoption with $30,000 or $40,000 in their bank account. They come to adoption because it is an emotional decision and something that certainly they've been led to. So certainly if that is something that's in your heart, I encourage you to do it, and I encourage you not to give up. And what we like to say is that it, even though it is a decision of the heart, it's important to have a plan. And so when they make that decision and they begin that process, don't give up, because there are lots of resources out there, and we're here to help you and guide you in that process. And so I can tell you that it's a life-changing experience, and one that would just be, I can't even give it words, to be very honest with you. Each day I get to enjoy and be a part of my daughter's life, and I would never, ever regret or feel like that was not a good decision.
That's wonderful. And how old is she now, Kelly?
She's 5.
Oh, wonderful. My grandson is 5. It's a great age.
Yes,
every age
is great,
I think.
It's an energetic age. Let's put it that way.
Yes, yes.
Exploring energetic age. My husband and I are having a great time, and so is she, I think.
Yes, oh, I'm sure. That's wonderful. She has great parents, and it's wonderful the message that you're spreading now. So let's give your websites one more time.
Yes. Now, you can get to these either way, but the first place to go would be to go to youradoptionfinancecoach.com. We are also on Facebook and on Twitter, so we'd love it if you'd go and check out our website. And check us out on Facebook. We'll be posting the archive of this radio show on our website, as I'm sure you will too. And if you are interested in just talking with me, if you have a question, if you just have a curiosity, or just like a perspective, you can go on my website and find a way to reach me through Contact Us. Be more than glad to answer anyone's questions. And we hope that folks will join us on Monday night at 6 o'clock to get ideas for this new wonderful show.
And they can register for that by going to those websites.
Yes, youradoptionfinancecoach.com. If they scroll down, it says Your Adoption Radio Show Webinar, And as I said, it's free at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time on April 2nd.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And I
thank
so
you, Randy.
Appreciate what you've done to bring all your wealth of knowledge from the nonprofit work that you've done in environment and youth and put it into this wonderful niche where nothing like this was being done. So that's very creative. And thank you, Kelly Ellison, for being on a guest on Family First, and good luck with your new show on Voice America.
Yes, thanks so much, and good luck to you.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Keep in touch.
Uh-huh.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.